Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
Good morning, everybody. So let's believe what Pastor Dave just said, that we are going to continue in his presence. There's been a lot in my spirit this week, and when I sat down and wrote out all my thoughts, it was like a novel. It was a book. And I said, Lord, they're not going to sit and listen to me for a day. So I'm trying to condense it all, and, you know, it's actually very foundational, but I felt like I couldn't get away from it this week. So I'm going to just start with something that hit me in worship that isn't even related to my message, but we sang about we are in the promised land. And, you know, oftentimes I think, God, is this the promised land? Right? Because of all that we encounter daily. But if we go back and we look at what was happening when they got into the promised land, first they had a war for it. Yeah. Then they had a war to keep it. Everybody wanted the promised land. It was a continual battle. Jesus didn't say, come into the promised land and everything's going to be wonderful and you can sit back, relax, and eat your bonbons. If we look at Scripture, that's not the case. In Scripture, we see that if there is something good and valuable that the Lord is giving us, that we are going to have to fight for it. And, you know, that's today. We are in the promised land, and we can live in that promised land every day as we heard Ronnie speak about hope. Our hope is in him, not in the world, not in the government, not in our neighborhood, our city, our mayor. Our hope is in Christ. And if we keep our hope in Christ, that is the promised land. So it really doesn't matter where we are physically. I just wanted to share that. We also heard Pastor Dave talk about breaking through oppression, and I'm believing that this morning. So we are going to be breaking through oppression today. Lord, we just thank you. And Father, I just ask that you come now and just release and anoint me to speak your word this morning, oh God, not all the extra fluff, but your word, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. So last week after Ruth's message, it was so good. Every time I think about it, it's like it overwhelms me. And I'm like, okay, Lord, how do I follow that? No, I'm only kidding. That's not really.
That's what I'm asking.
But I kept hearing the Lord speak to me about being salt and light. And what does that mean? And the focus, because if we think about Mary, we don't read a lot about her life after that. But in my mind, I imagine she was the most impactful person in her community for the Lord. And for the growth of the kingdom. She was kingdom-minded before anybody else. She really had the heart of God. And as Ruth told us, that's where we want to be, And the Lord just brought me to the simple message in Matthew 5. It's simple but foundational. And then he gave me something else and somehow tied it all together, which is unbelievable. So let's see if I could do the same thing. So let's read the scripture. There's not going to be a lot of scripture because we're talking about one thing this morning, Marissa's favorite thing in the world, salt. So Matthew 5, 13 to 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We have all read and sang about this song about these scriptures since we were little kids, right? And I find myself even singing the little "Don't hide your light under the bushel" to my granddaughter now. But you know, sometimes we just gloss over it. But I want to start with giving a little background on salt. To us, salt, we go into the store, we have all kinds of varieties we can buy. It's readily available. But when Jesus was giving this message to his disciples, that was not the case. Salt was a very a big commodity. Like, they did not have free access to it. It was expensive. It was valued. And why was that? Because they didn't have what we have today, and that is refrigeration. So they needed that salt to preserve their food. Otherwise, the food would just rot, right? So let's just talk about today, you know, like, what are the primary uses for salt? I mean, there's a lot of there's a lot of deep stuff in this, even though it's very simple. What does salt do? Just some things I wrote down. Salt seasons our food. It brings out the flavor. But do you know what salt does? And I was doing a little research on how that is, because when you put salt in your mouth, for most people, I don't, you know, it's like stings. I don't really like the flavor. But when you put it on food, you don't actually taste the salt. It brings out the flavor of the food. It breaks down, it says it breaks down the fibers so that the juices and the flavor can be released. Let's think about that spiritually. It preserves food, it stops the decay. You know, my notes are wrong. I'm gonna tell you right now. I had so many versions, I have the wrong one, so here we go. Here we go, Lord. So it stops the decay. So what happens is, like, these little micro thingies start growing in the food after a while. If you leave a piece of meat on the counter for a week, take a look at what it looks like. First, it's a slow process. It doesn't happen right away. Over time, the little germs start eating away the meat, and it decays. Salt is a preservative. It preserves. So they would salt their meat and be able to keep it for a long time. It stings when we use it as an antiseptic. Salt can be put on a wound to clean it out because it kills bacteria. Salt gives our body strength, right? We could not survive without sodium in our bodies. It gives our bodies strength, and it also creates thirst. So when you've eaten some salty food, I'm big on that, I'll drink 3 gallons of water, right? It creates thirst. And that's what I've always thought about when I read this scripture. Make me thirsty, Lord. Let people be thirsty for me. Let me influence people to be thirsty for you, because you're in me. But it's so much more than that. It's more than just making people thirsty. It's about how we, as people that are carrying the salt — Jesus didn't say become the salt of the earth in that scripture, did he? He says you are the salt of the earth, which means we already are. Once we accept Christ, we call ourselves believers, we are the salt of the earth. And that salt, according, if you were living in Bible times, would have meant one of two things, or both things: preservation and flavor. Because they didn't have freezers, that was their use of salt. And they knew that salt could be added to food to bring out the flavor. So when Jesus was speaking to his disciples that day, he was telling them, listen, you are the salt of the earth. You are the only one able to stop the decay in the world right now. I'm calling you. It is you. You are the ones that are supposed to influence society and bring out the flavors of who I am, and bring out life, bring life. Salt is the most desired taste by humans. Did you know that? I was doing some research and I'm like, what? I don't know if that's true for me. I think it's sugar, but right. And then combine the two. So salt can even, when it draws out flavors, you can add salt to sweet things. I always thought my son was crazy doing that, but it really does work. It brings out the sweetness of the fruit, or, you know, I'm watching them salt their watermelon, and I'm like, what? But it allows us to enjoy the natural flavor of the food. And we are here in the world to allow people to enjoy the natural flavor of the Lord. It even cuts bitterness. And if, you know, us Italians, we know that when we
cook broccoli rabe, if we don't want it to be bitter, what do? We put it in salted water, and it pulls the bitterness out, and it tastes so delicious. So salt cuts bitterness. That's interesting. What is the biblical significance of salt? If we look into the Old Testament, it is mentioned three times as the covenant of salt. That specific phrase, covenant of salt. And why did they say that? Because salt, as a preservative, was made things last longer. So when they referred to covenant of salt, they were referring to long-lasting relationships, long-lasting covenants. And you can reference that. I'm not going to read them, but in 2 Chronicles 13:5, Leviticus 2:13, and Numbers 18:19, they all talk about the covenant of salt. And it all is about creating a relationship. The essence of salt doesn't change. Right? It just doesn't change. What does happen when you release it from its salt shaker, what happens? Do we see it on the food? No, it disappears. And the Lord was just speaking to me about that because, you know, oftentimes we want to be in the forefront. We want to be sure we are not going to disappear. But what God's called us to do is to shine his light to the point where we're not seen, but Christ is seen. He wants us to disappear so that he could be seen. Sorry, my notes are really messed up. The church has lost its influence. We have neglected our responsibility to be salt and light in the world. As we have neglected to be what God has called us to be, the world has decided to ignore us. You know, it doesn't take a lot of salt to change the texture and flavor of a food. Just a little bit in the right places transforms what you're eating. And as I was researching, I came across this quote from a sociologist at Princeton University. And he said, the governing values of a whole culture may be changed when just 2% of the people have a new vision. Don't we see that right now? It's not the masses that are trying to change the culture. It's the small percentage that are trying to change the culture of America. I read in 2020, there are 65% of the American adults call themselves Christians. 65% of the people that are called the salt of the earth are not having the influence that 2% of our culture is. That's pretty sad. It's a sad state we are in. Can we imagine what the world would be like if just the American Christians took hold of being salt and light? It's time for us to get out of the salt shaker. But we have a lot of reasons why we want to stay in the salt shaker. We don't like the food that we're going to be salting. It's hot on that food. I'm not a fan of meat. I prefer vegetables. I will disappear. I like it in the shaker. I fit in the shaker. I'm comfortable in the shaker. All the pieces of salt look just like me, and we totally understand each other. But the shaker is just the container. It's not where the salt belongs, and it's not where we belong. You know, I was correlating that to being in the church versus being in the world. So in the church, it's so easy to be who we're called to be because we all believe the same. And things are getting so much more difficult now to be able to stand up and declare who you are. Because no longer has the church had enough influence in the world that Christianity is acceptable. Now it's peripheral. And it has so many different variations that don't even look like Christ anymore. You know, I was thinking about how, you know, when Jesus came and the beginning of Acts, I've been in the book of Acts so much, we're going to get there, but in the book of Acts, the church really was birthed. And when it was birthed, it wasn't birthed. And then God didn't say, okay, you guys go to the north and create this denomination, and you guys go to the east and create this. And that was never God's plan. God's plan was that we all would understand his truth and we would share that truth. He didn't even create mega churches. They didn't exist. They were all gathering in the, you know, when we were in Israel, it was really an incredible experience to be in the old city. But people gathered in the open areas of the city, even today. Like, all the people are gathered in the open areas. And that's where church was, in the open areas of the city, or in your home, breaking bread together. Read Acts, because I believe God is resurrecting what happened in the day of Acts. And we need to be very fully aware of what was happening in that day, because we're going to be living it out here and now. His plan was always to spread the word through relationship, the covenant of salt. The relationship was so important in the Old Testament. It was all about relationship. And that carries through into the New Testament. Somewhere we got lost. When the salt comes out of the salt shaker and goes into the food, two things happen. It disappears. But we know it's there. We know the salt. We know when there is no salt there, right? That's clearly apparent. Did you ever taste some soup before the salt went in? Ugh. So the salt comes out of the shaker and it disappears. We disappear into what God has called us into, so that what they see is not the little pieces of salt, but it is Christ in us. It is not us. It is Christ in us that should shine through. You know, I know there's a lot of fear around speaking up. And I know some of you have spoken to me and others have spoken to me about really standing on what you believe and the pushback that is coming. And I can't find in the Bible a place where pushback didn't happen when we stood up and spoke the truth. The other thing that happens when the salt comes out of the shaker is the food is changed forever. It is not the same. You can't go back. Once you salt the food, you can't go back to unsalted food. And sometimes I oversalt the food, and what has to happen then? Sometimes it's so bad, it goes in the trash can. You can't, once you salt, you can't take it back. Once we salt our communities, once we salt our families, once we salt the situations in our lives, once we speak truth and live out what we know to be true, when we live out the gospel, things are changed forever. But it's not always easy to come out of the salt shaker. Just a handful of salty Christians can change the world. But the next part of that verse is the part that I really was dwelling on, and that is, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can we be made salty again? Have you ever lost your saltiness? I have, many times. In fact, sometimes it's a period of time where you feel like you are not being salty, that you're disconnected. But sometimes it's a moment or an experience or a situation. And I just recently, a couple weeks ago, went through a situation where I clearly was not being salt. I can't talk about the situation, but it was clear I was not salt in that situation. And you know, a red flag goes up in my spirit as soon as I step away. And so what do we do about that? How do we get back to being salty? We're not called not to be salty. We're called to be salty. Sometimes our saltiness gets so watered down, we are no longer making an impact. Sometimes you salt your food, but you add so much broth into the soup that the salt is, it's not there anymore. It's watered down. You can't taste it. What has to happen? We have to add more. It happens so slowly. Our saltiness leaving happens so slowly that most times we don't even notice. It's like that frog in the water that boils to death slowly over time, not even realizing. He could hop right out, but he doesn't realize he's dying. Our saltiness wanes, and we know something is different, but we are not sure why. No one is hearing us or listening to what we say. We no longer have a kingdom impact. And we start speaking wrong, living wrong. It starts slow. We adjust our thinking. We justify what we're doing. We get comfortable where we're at. And now we're just there, showing up on Sunday, maybe, checking off the card. I'm here, Jesus. You see me right here. Here I am. But he sees you. He doesn't see him because we've lost our salt. Jesus told us to be salt and light and not hide our light, but to be like him and walk into darkness, shine the light, and be the salt that enhances, changes, and transforms the world. But how do we get back if we've lost our saltiness? We are going to Acts 4:29-33. A couple of weeks ago, I was on the phone with Yvonne. Yvonne lives in South Africa, but often listens to our messages, and she had called me to talk about the message that day, which was really good. And we got on the topic of this scripture. We were talking about this scripture, and it hasn't left me since, because I really think it's the key to staying salty. Acts 4:29-31, and we're going to read 33. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. So this is Acts 4. And if you notice here, they're talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Acts 2 was when they were all in the upper room and the day of Pentecost happened. And it was just a few chapters prior, and I actually looked up historically how long that was. It was just a few short weeks from the upper room to this. And what happened just prior to this, Peter and John had just healed the lame man when they were walking into the temple. And what happened? They got called before the government of the day and the religious leaders because they healed this man in Jesus' name. So they were taking a lot of ridicule and abuse from not just the government and the religious leaders, but also from the people of the day who did not believe in Jesus at the time, right? So it sounds a little like today. Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Consider their threats, Lord. What did they do? Here they are just a few short weeks from the upper room. This is what stunned me when I was reading through this the last few weeks. It's just a few short weeks from them being filled for the very first time with the power of Holy Spirit. Peter's standing, and 3,000 people, as he's speaking, come to the Lord. And here we are, a few short weeks later, and what are they doing? They're going back for more. Because I guess it got a little depleted. I guess the salt was a little depleted over those few weeks after listening to what everyone was saying, after the threats. You know, we can't constantly be bombarded with lies and attacks and think it is not going to affect how we live. But we have an answer. God tells us we are the salt of the earth. He doesn't say sometimes. He doesn't say when things are going well. He tells us we are in our promised land. This is it. How do we see that? Unless we are doing exactly here what the disciples are doing. And let me tell you, if they got to go back for seconds, I think this is just a prototype for going back every day. Right? After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is just a few weeks after they were already empowered. That's a part that has just like hit me so hard this week. I mean, I know, I was telling Ruth a few weeks ago, every day I'm in my car, driving to work, praying in the Spirit, because I know when I walk through the door, I'm going to get bombarded. Sometimes it happens before I even get to the door. Sometimes it starts in my car, on my phone. And, you know, like, if I am not fully armed and fully prepared and prayed up, it would be horrible. But even though I am doing that, there are still battles that have to be faced. But I know where I can go when that happens, just like they did. They just asked the Lord, are we doing that? Are we turning to the Lord when we feel like we are being oppressed? We heard the word this morning. God doesn't want us living in oppression. He made a way for us to never live in oppression. And it's our choice. Are we going to live a saltless, dull life, or are we going to do what we've been called to do? And that is transform and impact the world around us. Maybe individually, we can't do a lot. We can only impact our sphere, what God's given us influence of. But corporately, if the body of Christ woke up to this revelation, we wouldn't even be worried about, we wouldn't even see what we're seeing today. Like, the power that has been given to the church is incredible, and we are missing it. We're missing it. We think too small. They didn't run into their homes and hang out together because they all thought alike, and it was easy. They all looked alike. They liked to hang out in their shakers together. They weren't doing that. They were going out in the face of opposition and causing tremors to happen in the earth. And the place where they were meeting was shaken. Lord, shake this place, Lord. Shake us today, O God. They knew they had to be empowered, so they prayed. And our faithful God came and filled them again with the Holy Spirit that released boldness. This was specifically a boldness. If we read the scriptures, it says they asked for boldness. With great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them. It takes regular encounters with his presence to sustain us in this time, just like it did in the book of Acts. I challenge you to read it and read it and read it. I've been reading it for a couple years now. It's my most read book. It's never been more relevant than it is today. Let's go back to Matthew 5, verse 16, where it says, "Let your light shine before men." The key in this verse is before men. We could let our light shine right here in this building. Our lights are shining. If we walk into the basement downstairs and we turn the switch on, the light dispels the darkness, but who's there? We could dispel darkness in empty rooms, but it's not going to be impactful. If we live our Christian life in secret and no one knows that we are believers and we love the Lord, no one's going to be transformed. We're not going to make a difference. You have to be able to see the light before it does any good. Verse 16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." What's the key word here? Your. Jesus tells us two things will happen when you shine your light. Others see our good deeds. It says it right here in the scriptures. This is important. You know, if we say one thing, but yet do another, we all know what that's called, right? Even my granddaughter knows what that is. But it transforms no one because we are not real. We're fake. But when we live right and then speak about it, when we live right, or maybe don't speak about it, but we live right, the way we live, I believe, impacts people so much more than the words we speak. It's doing the right thing, even in the little details. Everything is so hazy these days, you know? Like, oh, it's okay. It's okay if you make that little compromise. It's okay if you just fudge those numbers. It's okay. It's all okay. Everything's okay. But it's not okay in the kingdom. If we call ourselves kingdom men and women, it's not okay. What else does this tell us? It tells us that everyone who sees the good works in us, the good works that we do, what are they going to do? They're going to glorify our Father in heaven. They're going to give God all the credit. They're going to be like, I don't know how you could do that. How are you like that, Millie? How do you make those decisions? How do you do that? How can you say that? How can you be in peace? Well, because I have Jesus. And they give God all the credit. Because there's no way we could be living in peace in these days without the hope of Jesus, as we heard this morning, the hope of Christ. When we turn on our light in a dark place, what happens? When you flip the switch on outside when it's dark, what happens? What happens? All the bugs come to the light. When you shine a light in a dark water, you shine light in dark water, what happens? All the fish come and swim to the light. They're all attracted. When I was a teenager, I used to sell bait in the summers to make money. And so on the dock, when it was dark at night, that's how we'd catch them, the minnows. We would, when it was really dark, we'd shine the light. They'd all come over. We'd scoop them up and put them in the bait container. 100% profit. But it's the same way with our lives. When we shine our light into a dark place, people are attracted to us. So many people stay in the darkness because they think they have no option. They don't even know they have an option. Think about that. But when the light shines in their darkness, many come into the light. They don't know they have an option. If we're not shining our light, so many people will be lost because they don't know they have an option. That's a sad thought for me today. So that's really all I wanted to share this morning. My focus is really on who God's called us to be, the salt and light of the earth. And I know it's a simple Sunday school message, but it is a powerful, transforming word that the Lord spoke to his disciples in that day. And this morning, instead of doing declarations, I thought we would pray and ask the Lord. I don't know about you, but if you're in the place where you feel you need more boldness to face the day, let's ask the Lord for a baptism in boldness this morning, just like we read in the scripture. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servants, Jesus. Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord. We thank you that you are the same God that we read about in the scripture today, Lord, that you have not changed, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are living in the promised land today, O God. We thank you, Lord, that we may have to fight for the promises, God, but we know that you are there equipping us for this season, O God. So, Lord, this morning, just like the apostles did and the disciples did, as we read about in Acts, Lord, they came to you at a time when they were being attacked and assaulted for their beliefs, oh God, for the miracles that they were performing. Lord, they were performing miracles, and they still needed more power. Lord, we come this morning, oh God, and we say to you, God, stretch out your hand to us, oh Lord. Stretch out your hand and release, oh God, powerful signs and wonders and miracles among us, oh God. Lord, even within us, oh Lord, make us bold. Give us your boldness, oh God, that we would stand firm and speak strong this morning, oh God. Lord, that wherever you have positioned us for such a time as this, O God, we would speak clearly your truth. We would stand firm on your word. We would be salt and light to those around us, O God. That wherever we go, God, darkness will flee. We thank you, Lord, that you have fully equipped us to face the enemy of our day, O God. So, Lord, we come to you today and every day, and we say, baptize us with boldness, O God. Baptize us with power, O God. We receive from you today what you say you freely give. And, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Set us on fire, O God. Let this place be a light, a beacon of light for this city, O Lord. Let our lives speak loudly. Let us live out loud all that you have put in our spirits, O God, that we would not fear being out of the shaker and out of the box, but we would allow you to give us the ability to transform the world around us, O God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We know this is nothing to do with who we are, but everything to do with who you are in us. We are the salt of the earth because of you, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Lord, put that hunger in us that we would thirst after your presence, just like Mary, Lord, that we would run after you, oh God. With our whole hearts today, Lord. We just thank you, Father. Thank you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.